Matthew chapter 5. We spent 2 weeks on the Beatitudes and really looking and seeing what is the real character of a true disciple. And we saw just how upside down it is to this world. And that is the point. The whole point of it is that very thing, that a Christian is different from the world. A Christian must be different from the world. Because the world does not value these things that Jesus gives to us. The poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, the hungers and thirsters for righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. But that is the kingdom that Christ is setting up. And these are the people that the world needs to see. And today, we move then to a metaphor that Jesus gives us in Matthew 5. He says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Now, metaphors are interesting things. We use them all the time. They're actually quite powerful if we think about it. Now, I did a little bit of looking around, and a couple things people use metaphors all the time, and some of them are not so good, some are good, but for instance, I was looking in this person on Pinterest. I guess that's still a thing. So things like, life is like an elevator. On your way up, sometimes you have to stop and let people off. Or how about this one? Life is like a road. It has bumps, cracks, and obstacles, but in the end, it gets you somewhere. Words to live by. And apparently this person likes butterflies. Live life like a butterfly. Take a rest, but never forget how to fly. Or, life is like a butterfly. You go through changes before you become something beautiful. And then again, following the butterfly theme, life lessons from a butterfly. Let go of the past. Trust the future. Embrace change. Come out of the cocoon. Unfurl your wings. Dare to get off the ground. Ride the breezes. Savor the flowers. Put on your brightest colors. Let your beauty show. I don't know that I'm going to live by those, but hey, you know, people use metaphors. In fact, you know, as much as we want to, you know, tease them, you know, and again, there's funny, I have a whole other page of somebody wrote these down, and one of them had to do about a puppy and fire hydrants, and I went, no, I'm not going there at all. I'm just going to set that one aside. All right? But, okay, here's the thing. All right? Metaphors help sometimes clarify and give meaning and shape to how we think. Like I said, we use them all the time. We are inspired by them, right? I mean, we are. I was thinking this day, I want to watch the movie Rudy. You guys ever see Rudy? You know, the kid who he wants to play football for Notre Dame. Whatever it is. Notre Dame. And, you know, he's little, but he's just so determined. And he works and works and works, and, you know, and he just gets pummeled constantly, you know. But he keeps on coming up more and more. And finally, in the end, he gets to play. And he makes a tackle, you know, and everyone's cheering for him, right? Okay, there's a metaphor there, isn't there? You know, of working hard, and it can be inspiring. In fact, as metaphors can shape experience, they can empower the way we think. They can empower and shape the way we feel. They can help you to make meaning out of life and what's going on. And again, so Jesus uses a metaphor here. We want to take and understand and apply it and take it for its purpose. The purpose of metaphor is to give you a hook, something to hang on to, something to move forward with. Again, to shape how we think, to shape how we feel. So Jesus here uses a metaphor to clarify what it is to be a true disciple, to show us, help us answer that question of, okay, I'm a disciple, now what? What do I do? What is my mission? What is my vocation? What should I do with my life? Young people, as you're going along here, you're going to be asking these questions. And us older ones should be asking the same question. What do I do with my life? Where do I go? What is the direction? What is the purpose? What is my mission? And I think this metaphor of salt and light gives us a shape and a direction and a meaning to those questions. So today I want to, for you organized folks, I have five reflections on this metaphor, okay? I have five of them that hopefully will move us in a direction that of understanding. Now, the first thing we need to understand of this metaphor is that it flows out of the Beatitudes, all right? Context, 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 context. Context, all right? Always. always, when you're looking at the Bible, when you're looking at the teaching of Jesus, you have to take in the context. And the context here is the Beatitudes. In fact, I was thinking today, I'd like to challenge you all with something. You know, Easter's in 2 weeks. I'd like you to attempt. There's 8 Beatitudes. To put them to memory. At your dinner table for the next 2 weeks, start out, say, okay, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And repeat it to each other. I mean, because, again, this gives us the outline. It gives us the character of a true disciple. It puts it in our mind all the time so that in every situation in life, whatever confronts you, wherever you're at, you can come back to this character of what I am and use it. So when we think about salt and light then, we have to be thinking in the context of poor in spirit, the mourners of sin, the meek, the hungers and thirsters for righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because he tells us, you are. And the you here is a beatitude disciple. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And that you is you. And that you, that's you, is the beatitude person, the true disciple. All right. So, one, context. The you is coming out of these beatitudes. Reflection two. At its heart, the metaphor is more about who we are than what we do. Now, here's a question for you. And my daughter actually picked up on this. She's looking at me very worriedly. When I first came here, I think it was my fourth sermon here, I talked about salt and light. You guys remember? All right, no. What am I doing? It was about evangelism, about reaching out, okay? And so on the one hand, good deal, because now I can go back to it and I'm not repeating something and you guys will take it all in. All right. All right, so again, the you are salt. You are light here. It's about our character. It's about these disciples and who they are in their heart. Jesus, in this sermon, goes on and on and on, and he absolutely hammers and scolds the Pharisees for being righteous on the outside and not having the heart. You know, in chapter 6, he says, beware of practicing righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. And he goes on to talk about giving and praying and fasting and doing these things in a way that gives us credit, but our reward is nothing. It's about our heart. And so as we think about this metaphor, again, it's who we are, deep inside, at the core, reflecting the characteristics of these Beatitudes. But, number three, what we do flows out of who we are, right? We can't set aside the doing. You must not set aside the doing. That is the mission. A mission is doing. A vocation is doing. We are not saved. Jesus didn't come into our hearts and put these characteristics upon us so that we can, you know, sit on a pole and meditate on them all day long. Salt and light, the metaphors Jesus used, are active metaphors. And we must be active. We must keep in mind the doing aspect of these metaphors. So the first one, salt. I mean, just think about it a little bit here. Okay, so you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, what good is it? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Okay, so there's the metaphor. What does it mean? Well, what is salt? What does it do for us, right? You've heard before, right? Taste, first off, right? Yesterday we had some pork and some little red potatoes in the crock pot. Delicious, if I say so myself. But the potatoes, even though they're in the crock pot and cooked with all of them, you cut them and they were just bland. Like they didn't take in the flavor. I don't know what was going on. It was kind of weird, you know? So what do you do? Salt. You know, and then they're fine. They tasted great, okay? So it gives flavor. It doesn't take much, but it's an important thing. How often have you just had something that's like, oh, you put a little salt in it? Hey, it's delicious. The difference between terrible and delicious is a few grains of salt, okay? So there's that aspect of it. Again, thinking about us, okay, we are salt. We give flavor, help in the world, okay? Yeah, I think there's an aspect of it to that, but primarily, again, context here, folks. In the ancient world, salt was an incredibly valuable thing, incredibly valuable, because it had preservative qualities. A little bit of salt rubbed into meat helped to stop the decay, which is important because there was no refrigeration. You know, they didn't have ice. They didn't have refrigerators. And so in those places where they didn't have those things, salt was everything and was very valuable. really valuable. So for the Christian then, a true disciple, our role in the world is one of preserving, of stopping or slowing down. And the reason is that because the world, left to itself, tends to decay. That's just the way it is. We live in a fallen world. What did Romans 8 tell us? Had to get in there somewhere. Right? The whole creation is groaning, pain of childbirth. You know, there's this aspect of it's not right, it's wrong. And in fact, we see, and I think it's easy to see in the world, that again, left to its own, the world tends to decay. It's fallen. It's focused on self. And it will go the direction of violence, evil, and fallenness. And so our role, our purpose is to hold off, to delay, to slow down the decay that we see in our world. Now, there are things that we put in place, sometimes laws. Okay, the state has a role in this, and it's entirely good and proper. All right? There's laws, there's boundaries put up so things just don't go completely chaotic. I mean, go to a place like Somalia right now, and you'll see right away what it is to not have laws, and people are just running with abandon. You'll see the decay. But our purpose isn't to just sit back and let the laws do it. I mean, there's our role as preservers is one of action, and that is in being courageous and outspoken in condemning evil, of speaking it, saying the words. Martin Luther said, you know, that in talking about this passage, you know, salt has a bite. Have you gotten salt into a cut? Yeah. So the world will not appreciate necessarily a little salt rubbed in their wound. But as true disciples, our role is to be that preservative, to stand boldly for what is right and just, to be influencing society, to help even in preventing decay. And it's good. That's what we are here for. Now, people get caught up in the either-or kind of thing, and that's not what it's about. Again, it's mostly about who we are as character, but flowing out of us as we get involved in communities and where we live and things, we stand up for what is right. That is our salt. That is our saltiness. The second part of the metaphor, then, is light. What is our light? Well, the contrast made is, if we are the light of the world, what does that tell us about the world? The world is dark. The world is dark. And so again, out of the Beatitudes, our character of who we are, we see that light then is good works. It says you don't put it under a basket, but you open up so everyone can see. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. So the aspect of light then is what we do. There is a doing part of this. And so good works then for a Christian who is poor in spirit, meek, mourning, all these things, it's everything. Everything we say, everything we do, every manifestation of faith, when people see you, all of you, it is light, or should be. That's why it's so important when we talk about things like the pure in heart. Remember we talked about last week is of being undivided, of being whole and pure, so people aren't confused by our light. Another aspect of light that you see often in the Bible is truth, right? Light is truth. It exposes. It shows what is real. You may think something is some way, but then you shine a light on it and realize, oh no, now I can really see what it is. I see the truth. And so, an aspect then of light is truth. And an aspect of that, I think, an important aspect of that is what Christ has done. The truth of the gospel. People need more than barricades just to stop them from becoming as bad as they could be. We need more, you know, it has to be more than just stop here and, you know, don't be so bad. Just be kind of bad. No, people need regeneration. The real answer is the gospel, is new life. And it has to come from us. It has to come from our words. You know, at the end of the day, you know, people often talk about evangelism in terms of, you know, living a good life and let them see. That's fine. Yes, absolutely. All right? But at some point, you have to say the words. You have to. If your neighbor, and they just see you living a good life, and they're drawn to it, and they think, what is that about? And you never, ever say what it is to them, what good is it? When people see you, what do they see? And then what do they hear? Do they hear the truth? Do they hear the gospel? As salt and light, we must be a sharp contrast to the world. I think that is the point of the metaphor. Which leads us then to the The fourth aspect I was thinking about, these metaphors come with a warning. And it's a sobering one. Because the question, what if a disciple is not salty? Or what if a disciple is not light? Well, they're useless. They're useless. If a salt loses taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. Now, part of the interesting thing of metaphor is that, well, can salt lose its saltiness? I mean, from a scientific point of view, salt is salt. Okay, it's not going to deteriorate over time. You know, it's going to be salt, sodium chloride, NaCl. That's what it is. So if you have some salt, I have a salt and I shake it out and there's no salt there. Guess what? It's not salt. Okay, it's not salty, less salt. It's just not salt. I need salt. I don't want whatever this is. I want salt. You know, and so, again, if it's not salty, it's useless. If we reject the values of the Beatitudes, if we live our lives in a way that shows the world that, yeah, I'm not poor in spirit. I can do it on myself. You know, I have righteousness of my own. If I reject being meek and gentle and peacemaking and all these things, if we don't see those things, maybe you're not salt. Or what good is invisible light? What if I had a great flashlight, so bright I could light up the entire town of Fenimore with it? And I look at it, it's got a black covering across the lens. What's that about? Well, that's just part of the design. Super. I don't need that light. I don't need the powerful light that doesn't shine. A light that does not show the Father's good works is like invisible light. Well, again, which makes no sense. Just like unsalty salt makes no sense, invisible light makes no sense. Which comes back to the core of what this is about, and it's who we are. We are salt. We are light. And so we must embrace this distinctiveness. Our doing flows from who we are. And we're all doing. Okay, you cannot not do. Okay, you're going to be doing something. Always. Are you doing out of the Beatitudes as salt and light, or are you not? It defines a true disciple by our distinctiveness and by our actions. Which then brings me to the fifth point, which what it's really all about, and that's God. At the end of the day, at the end of all of it, for a true disciple, if I embrace what Jesus is saying here, okay, if the Spirit of God has entered my life, taken this heart of stone and turned into flesh and opened my eyes, that I see that I am poor in spirit and that I mourn my fallenness and understand what Christ has done for me, and I hunger and I thirst for the righteousness that comes from Him, and my greatest desire is to be whole and pure and peacemaking, then God will be glorified. And it's about Him. It has to be about Him. He is the treasure. That's why, as we go through the rest of the sermon, I mean, Jesus hammers over and over, don't do it on the outside. It has to be on the inside. A person can do good things and look like salt, taste like salt. You know, they can stand up for what's right and have nothing inside. And the difference is where the glory goes. If it's not to God, then we have to take a step back and think about it. So what do we do with all this? I'm reading a really good book on the Sermon on the Mount by John Stott. And some of the things he said really struck me. One, when we look at this metaphor of salt and light, we must really understand that the world and the church are completely distinct things. You know, there's the earth and the earth's salt, okay? The earth's salt is not the earth. There's the world and the world's light, okay? The light is not the world. You know, the metaphor shows us that the light is the opposite of what the world is. The world is darkness, we are light. The earth is decaying, we are the salt. And so the world, again, left to itself, manifests a constant tendency to deteriorate. That's the natural way of things. The world is a dark place, and that we have to understand that. And as we understand that, then we see that there is a fundamental difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. There must be a fundamental difference, and a sharp difference. I confess, I lived most of my high school time and well into college living a very non-distinct life. I was not pure in heart. I was, you know, as James put it in his book, James, double-minded. You know, I could be one person in school with my classmates and then drive people to youth group and be a whole another guy. And once in a while, those two things would come together, but it's a terrible way to live. For a true disciple, that distinctiveness will come through. There is a fundamental difference, and we must accept that. And with that acceptance, we accept the responsibility that that distinction puts upon us. When Jesus tells us we're salt and light, he's not just telling us who we are, but what we're to do. And so we are salt. You know, the salt is like the negative aspect of it, the preventing the decay, and then the light as a positive, to illumine, to speak, to show the truth, to stop evil, to spread truth, to encourage beauty and goodness. The Christian should be at the forefront of all those things, and all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. So I encourage you to, one, take a shot at memorizing the Beatitudes so that they're there for you, to remind you of salt and light. And then think of this metaphor. Again, wherever you are this week, whatever you're doing, at home, at your jobs, you know, children, as you're interacting with your brothers and sisters, remember who you are and that you're different and you must be different. And examine. You know, it's a constant process, isn't it? We must examine and think of ourselves and think, am I different? If I'm not, then why and what can I do? And Lord, forgive me and help me. But the good news is that, you know, as Jesus promised us, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And we see that witness in our hate of sin. All right, you may have to battle the same stupid thing every day, but the very fact that you're fighting it and want to fight it, that's God's Spirit in you. If it wasn't there, then you wouldn't care. You'd be in darkness and decay. All right, so you're on the right path then. And again, if we cry, Abba, Father, and you're coming here, worshiping God, saying those things, desiring God as Father, tells us who we are. And here we're reminded by this metaphor then to live it to the glory of God. Let me pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us in your word. Lord, this whole sermon is hard, no doubt about it. And God, we just know that it's by your grace and mercy that we can live this way. Help us, Lord, to be the salt and the light in our world, to be distinctive, not in a judgmental, uncaring way, but just understanding that we are your people and our purpose, our mission is to preserve and show this world that there's a better way, that there is a light, that you don't have to rot. And Lord, may you be glorified in it all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go with God this week and be salt and light.